Today we're going to learn more about my good friends at the American Legion. Those of you that know me know that I like to go to the Legion in St. Pete, right down on 4th Street North. Great group of people down there. So any chance we have to talk to the gang from the American Legion, we jump on that chance. And a special interview today with the American Legion, we're going to talk to the first ever female commander for the American Legion, U.S. Army veteran Denise Rowan. Good morning, Commander. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am great, thanks. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. What an honor. First time in, what, 99 years in the history of the Legion, we've had a female commander.
Exactly. And it's quite an honor and very humbling experience.
Well, we want to get to your platform coming up because I think it's kind of interesting that you say the theme for this year for your command is Family First. And we're going to get to Family First coming up. But first, what I'd like to do, Commander, is kind of educate our listeners about the American Legion. Now, I mentioned earlier that I go down to the Legion on 4th Street in St. Pete, and which is great, too. You don't have to be a vet at this Legion to go in and enjoy it, and I am not. A friend of mine is Captain Chris McCabe down there, and he actually invited me, and he said, yeah, the doors are open for everybody to come in and enjoy the Legion. And I got to tell you, such a great group of people, men and women, and they're so fun to sit down and talk to, hear their stories, and just hang out. And they have some great times down there. They're out in the community always doing fundraisers and doing great stuff. So we know the Legion is there, the American Legion. I know my uncle was a member. But we really don't know the history. Can you enlighten us on that? When did the American Legion get founded?
Well, the Legion was founded back in 1919. It was actually founded in Paris, France, by World War I veterans who realized that when they came home from serving that veterans were going to need to be taken care of, especially those that were may have been injured or the families of those who are deceased. So the American Legion is founded on four basic pillars. It's Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation, which is about taking care of veterans and making sure they get the benefits that they earned and they deserve, and making sure their families are taken care of. And then it's about national security, national defense, which is about taking care of our military personnel, making sure that they have the resources they need to do the job that they're required to do when they're serving overseas or in the United States. Children and youth, which is taking care of the kids and making sure the children in their hometowns feel like they're safe and they're learning about what it means to be an American. And that brings us to the fourth pillar of the American Legion, which is all about teaching people about what it means to be American, giving back. We're doing a big push right now with Election Day coming up on November 7th. That people actually go out and vote because that's part of being an American citizen. We were founded, like I said, back in 1919, and our founders were so forward-thinking that they said a veteran was a veteran. It didn't matter what their gender, their race, or their religion. So back in 1919, when we were founded, women could vote for national commander of our organization before they could vote for president of the United States.
And wow.
It is such an honor to be the first female national commander, but I know throughout our history, which is almost 100 years now, throughout our history, women have been a big part of Legion posts across the nation, and they have been in leadership positions. It just so happens that I get to be the first female national commander. Hopefully there will be a lot more coming behind me, but it is such an honor, and it is so humbling to be in service to this great organization, this great American family.
You know, you're absolutely right about the women's involvement in the American Legion. It's not all men. And if you've ever, and I'm sure you have been to the meetings and seen it, a lot of times it's the ladies with the hands up first coming up with some great ideas on how we're going to work with kids in the community, or we have a vet coming home who needs a wheelchair ramp built onto the home. And we have the women that are a lot of times in these legions leading the charge and saying, men, get off your duffs. We got stuff to do.
Exactly right. And we have like you said, the American Legion is such an amazing place to go, and the people that you meet, there is history lessons to be learned that would never, ever get to a history book just by sitting down and talking to a member of our military or one of our veterans. It's amazing the things that I'm learning as I travel this country.
Commander, I want to remind people that you guys have a great user-friendly website. It's legion.org, www.legion.org. We're on the air with the first female commander, nationwide commander of the American Legion, U.S. Army vet, Denise Rowan. Now, Denise, you say your platform for your command is family first, and we talked about the four pillars with the American Legion. A lot of that does sound like family. It's not just the vets that we're concerned about. It is their families, and as you mentioned, you do a lot with the kids in the community and kids at the local school level. So how does the family first platform fall into play here?
Well, when I went off to basic training, I found myself kind of homesick. And then my mom helped me realize that the women that I was in basic training with were my new sisters. And as you serve in the military, you have brothers and sisters that you start taking care of each other and you start depending on one another. When you get out of the military and you lose that sense of community, you find it again through the American Legion family. Now, as part of the American Legion family, as I explained, we take care of veterans and all that good stuff. But as soon as September 11th happened and we started seeing our National Guard units being called up, and now they're being called up time and time again, there are some that have been deployed 5, 6, 7 times. When we go to a deployment ceremony and we say to our military personnel, what can we do to make sure that you don't have to worry about things on the battlefield? They always tell us to take care of their families first. And so that's what the American Legion family across the nation is doing, is making sure that military families are taken care of so that as their families are being taken care of here at home, the mission can take place overseas. And we know that everyone is going to be safe one way or another.
Commander, you mentioned the National Guard, and that kind of clicked something in my brain here. You know, recently we had Hurricane Irma here in the state of Florida, Houston just devastated by Hurricane Harvey. And in times of emergency, the National Guard is also deployed then, not overseas, but right here on American soil to protect and help American citizens. And during a time of national crisis, the Legion is there helping out.
Exactly right. And we saw that, like you said, as the hurricanes were coming into Texas, we had American Legions from across the nation loading up semis to take into Texas as soon as it was clear to go into those communities. We also had semis as soon as Florida started getting hit. Semis were getting loaded up with needed equipment and things. We have the National Emergency Fund, which is a fund that people can make donations through, again, legion.org to do that. But 100% of donations to our emergency fund go back out to help people who have been touched by natural disaster, to include, we have American Legion Post down in Puerto Rico who are trying to rebuild Puerto Rico, St. Thomas. There's Legion Posts across the nation. We had earthquakes down in Mexico were affecting some of our Legion posts down there as well. But, right, part of being taking care of a family is taking care of those who get into the national emergency situations that they need assistance. And we're there across the country taking care of each other.
And you know, Commander, it wasn't just the veterans and the families of the veterans during a national crisis like our hurricanes where we saw groups like the American Legion spring into action. It was basically anybody needed help. We're here to help you. Most American Legion posts I know have kitchens because they have got the banquet halls that they rent out for weddings and family celebrations and things of that nature. And I know several of the posts here in the Tampa Bay area had that kitchen. As long as they had power, they were cranking out food, feeding first responders and anybody in the community that was hungry, because a lot of people here at Commander, we were without power for 6 days, some even longer.
And it's amazing. We also had Legion posts out in Texas that were opening their doors, and people were sleeping in those posts for a couple days at a time. And the meals, you're right, the meals were going out of the post into the communities. There were some, we were finding some families who were too proud to come out of their homes and ask for help. So Legionnaires, Legion family members, the Legion, the Auxiliary, our Sons of the Legion, our Legion Riders were going throughout the communities taking food to families to make sure that they were taken care of, and taking in water supplies. And it was amazing what Florida's been through, what Texas has been through, Puerto Rico, Mexico. And then we can't forget about the wildfires that were going out west, too, at the same time. It's like crazy things have been happening in the last couple of months.
We're on the air with Commander Denise Rowan. She is the first female nationwide commander of the American Legion. We're learning more about what the American Legion is doing here in our community and the things they're doing for our vets, which is really, really important to me. We've had many programs with the VA, and we're going to talk about some of the VA issues coming up in just a minute with the commander. But, Commander, as you know very well, being a vet and working with the Legion, you see a lot of what our troops are coming home with. I mean, we've got post-traumatic stress disorder, brain injuries, wounds of war. And sometimes these vets are coming back and they don't feel like they have anywhere to turn to. How does the Legion step in and help them out?
Well, I'm hoping they will find the American Legion. And when people go into the military, they have a buddy that's with them. And so they have their battle buddy. But when they leave the military, their battle buddy goes home and they go home. And hopefully our veterans will go into an American Legion post and find a new family, their new battle buddies, who will actually stop and listen to them. The American Legions across the nation have service officers, and those service officers are there to help veterans file their claims that they need. The beauty about service officers and American Legion members, because we are veterans ourselves, we actually take the time to sit down and listen. And when you're listening, you can find out people who may need help. There's a lot of veteran suicide that's going on across this nation. And so we're hoping by opening the Legion post, that people can take care, get the help they need. Of course, there's the National Suicide Prevention Line, which is a 1-800 number. It's 1-800-273-8255. That's all part of making sure that veterans get the help that they need. Again, it's 1-800-273-8255. But it all comes back down to that family first theme of taking care of one another, making sure people get the help they need when they need it. And sometimes it's just, hey, I need somebody to talk to. Go down to the Legion Hall. You said it yourself, with the Legions opening their doors to the community, inviting people in. People can see the great work that's going on across this nation in their home communities. We're just such a great family. We just like people to be part of it.
Commander, you enlisted back in, 1974, right, when the country's attitude was a little different towards our vets than it is today. How have you seen things change since 1974? Because back in that era, we were still suffering the stings of Vietnam. We still had a lot of vets who, unfortunately, were mistreated, treated poorly here by fellow American citizens. How have you seen things change since 1974 when you enlisted, the way we civilians are treating our veterans when they're coming home?
Well, what I've really seen is those Vietnam-era veterans who were treated badly back in the 1970s, they're the ones who are at the airports now. They're the Legion Halls. They're making sure that our currently serving military personnel are getting the welcome home they deserve, what they didn't get. They want to make sure that they're treated with honor and respect like our veterans should be treated. It is so heartwarming when you see the Vietnam-era veterans sitting down with those currently serving or those who just recently left the military, and showing they show each other the honor. Our currently serving vets understand the bad history that happened with the Vietnam era veterans, and they're helping each other. The post-traumatic stress issues, those shell shocks that it used to be called, or whatever it used to be, they're helping each other get through experiences that they may have suffered. What I'm seeing in some halls are we have currently serving members who are children of Vietnam-era veterans, and as the Vietnam-era veterans are helping current service members get through their post-traumatic stress, they're realizing that they need help also, and they're getting help that they deserve that they should have gotten 40, 50 years ago.
When you mention that, do you see the younger people whose families have served prior to them that are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, and talking to those veterans down at the Legion, it's comforting. They're learning, they're bonding, they're getting friendship. But we see that a lot with groups like the American Legion, where we have grandfather, father, and grandson, all members of the same post, don't we?
We do, and it's kind of funny. It's like they went into the family business. So they serve all the different branches. I've seen multitudes of brothers and sisters who are also in. So it's like the grandpa, the dad, the mom. It's amazing the family relationships of who is all served. The American Legion family, of course, is made up of not just the veterans, but we have the American Legion Auxiliary, which is the female descendants, the spouses, the grandmas, the mothers of our veterans, as well as our sons of the American Legion and our American Legion riders. We just work together to take care of one another. And military families serve right along with our military. They may not be in harm's way, but they're back here at home taking care of the home front while our military people are overseas.
We're on the air with the first female commander of the American Legion, U.S. Army veteran Denise Rowan. And the website, by the way, we mentioned it a couple of times, but it's a great site for you to check out. Even if you're not a member of the Legion, if you want to learn how to support him, you could do it right at www.legion.org. Commander, one thing that really bugs me, and many people who know me know this, is the way that, you know, we're trying to do better the way we're treating our vets, but it's still not good. And when that expose came out several years ago about the way our vets were getting treatment or denied treatment at the VA, I was incensed by that. I mean, we're talking about men and women who served their country, went to foreign soil, come back, they've got medical issues, mental issues, and they're not getting the help they need. So how is the Legion getting involved in this? Have you guys been lobbying, meeting with the VA, with the government, saying we need to do a better job here?
Well, the quick answer to that is yes, we've been doing that. Several years ago, when the issues with the health care and people not getting appointments like they needed to, the American Legion stepped up and asked for the Secretary of Veterans Affairs at that time to resign and so we could get a new management, if you so to speak. Now, the American Legion has a program. It's called System Worth Savings, and we have full-time staff as well as volunteers who travel across the nation visiting VA healthcare systems. And I'm going to say the people that I have met that work for the VA healthcare system love our veterans. They love taking care of them, and they go out of their way to make sure that veterans get the benefits they deserve. What we had a couple years ago, what gets in the news is the fact that there's veterans who were on those waiting lists who didn't get service, didn't get in to see doctors like they were supposed to. We're getting that fixed. We've got a lot of veterans I talk to live in rural areas that aren't anywhere close to a VA hospital. And we're looking at the choice programs. There's a new care program that's being looked at to help veterans who can't get into their local VA hospitals or their community-based clinics, that they would be able to go to doctors closer to their hometowns or in their hometowns and get the care they need. So we see it coming along. We see that as far as our politicians in Washington, D.C., when people are saying things don't happen on the Hill like they're supposed to, we're seeing that when it comes to a veterans' issues, that our patriotism amongst our legislators is trumping partisanship, and our legislators are working together to make sure that our veterans are taken care of. And that's just very heartwarming. Just in the last couple months, we've seen several bills that were passed. There's an Appeals Modernization Act that the President signed on stage during our national convention. They just signed into law the Forever GI Bill, which is being named after our national commander, Harry Comrie, who helped pen the original GI Bill. The Accountability and the Whistleblowers Protection Act was passed. And the fourth thing that the American Legion is really proud of is as we come into our 100th anniversary, we just had a centennial coin bill that was passed. So the American Legion, as we come into our 100th anniversary, will have a centennial coin being minted.
Commander, earlier you had mentioned one of the major problems that we are seeing here in the United States with our returning veterans is the suicide issue, and it is a continuing problem where they just feel like they have nowhere to reach out. And I know the VA, I have talked to them about this, they've set up some great support systems for the veterans to get the help that they need when it comes to suicide. But what about our homeless vets? Because I think right under suicide, if you had to say, here's the list, A, B, C, and D of where everything ranks of importance, suicide up there would have to be A. B would be homelessness. And I tell you, Commander, I think it's because we live in such a warm state, the beautiful state of Florida, that we attract a lot of homeless people. But unfortunately, a majority of them are vets. And to see somebody out there that has served their country that doesn't have a roof over their head, that really bugs me. And sometimes I know people are going to say, well, they don't want a roof over their head. They're not looking for help. And that is true because they may have mental issues or dependency issues. But you've got to realize that the homelessness with our vets is a big problem.
Exactly. It is a big problem. And I know I'm originally from the Madison, Wisconsin area. One of the things I discovered and I found interesting and shocking was there the Housing and Urban Development has vouchers to help house veterans, homeless veterans. And what they were finding in Wisconsin is there were enough vouchers, but there weren't enough apartments. There weren't enough apartment owners willing to take those vouchers and open up their facilities or complexes to veterans. So we're doing a big push across the nation to make sure that owners of those apartment complexes know that we have vouchers available. And the veterans who are homeless, and if they have health care issues or whatever, we're trying to see that they get housed first. So they get a house, and then we have workers that are working with them to find jobs. The American Legion also is hosting job fairs across the nation. They're helping to find jobs if they need medical care. They're getting them into the medical facilities, the VA healthcare system, so they get the care they need, and they get to live a happy, normal life. And eventually, they're off the streets. They're not homeless anymore. They have great jobs. They get the health care they need, and they're just taking care of themselves, which is a sense of pride. And it all comes back to that suicide rate that we talked about. When you're unemployed, you don't get the care you need. You don't have a house. Once we get them housed, and that's all taken care of through Veterans Administration care, Housing and Urban Development, the American Legion is there to help them find their places. There are American Legions. I've visited several facilities that American Legions are sponsoring homes where 10 to 12 veterans can be housed in an area and get the help they need with food pantries also. But there's our job fairs that we're sponsoring across the nation. Again, it comes down to legion.org. You can learn more about what we do and how we help. But we do. We help hold our legislators' feet to the fire to make sure that veterans are taken care of across this nation.
Commander, one thing you mentioned there, and I want to expand on that, was the job issue, because I mentioned if we're doing a list A, B, and C, suicide obviously got to be top of that list, and then the homeless problem. Job, you know, a lot of people think, well, gee, you know, they got all that free training there in the military. You think they could come home and find a job right away. Well, they were trained to fix a tank, or they were trained to do something else and not run a computer, even though computers are a big part of today's military. There's a lot of retraining that needs taking place with our vets when they come back home and they're looking for a job.
Exactly. And there's we have a transition assistance program. The military has those to help people find what they want to do when they get out. But the big thing that we're lobbying for across the nation, and sometimes it's a state-by-state issue and sometimes it is a federal issue, but all of that training that you get in the military, we help get that information, that training, converted over to civilian licenses and credentials, because we have a lot of military personnel who are medics. They're trained military medics, and they may want to be an EMT. Now, you'd think they can serve people on the battlefield, but certainly they can drive an ambulance and take care of things. Nurses in the military with their military training, truck drivers, it ends up being, we also have the military police to convert them into civilian police officers. So the licensing and credentialing is a big part of it. And in addition to our military personnel licensing and credentialing, we have a lot of military spouses who, when our military people transfer from one base to another, they go from one state to another, we're helping with their credentials and licenses that they may have in one state be converted over to a new state as well. So that's a big part of that training. But the transition assistance program, we have a lot of military personnel who get out and they go back to college. They use their GI Bill to go back to school. And their military training converts to credits for their education as well.
Commander, one thing that I really appreciate about organizations like the American Legion is the involvement in today's youth. And when I mean youth, we're talking little kids in grade school, elementary school, junior high school. The Legion just seems to be really involved with our kids' future. And you're not out there recruiting for the military. You're out there just making sure the kids are safe. They're getting an education. You have the Boys Day program, Boys Nation, and even the local Legion sponsors a Little League baseball team. So you guys are really involved in the youth of our country as well.
We are involved with our youth, and we have our so many scholarships available across the nation. We have each post pretty much has a scholarship program of one way or another. We have an oratorical scholarship program as well, where kids can give speeches about the Constitution and how it affects their lives. But you're right, we are there for the youth of this nation. Part of our education that we try to do is have veterans go into the classroom and talk about their experience in the military, giving back to our community. Being an American isn't just that you get to live here. Being an American means that you give back to the community in some way, and if that means you're walking down the street and there's a piece of trash on the ground, pick it up and put it in the garbage can. It can be just as simple as that.
Or even helping a neighbor out. You know, if you see somebody that needs help, just be part of the community and make a difference. Smiling to somebody at the grocery store could have just made their day. You didn't know that they were having the worst day of their life, and you just pass this person, you don't even know, and smile at them. You could have just changed their life.
Exactly right. And again, it comes back to that family first theme of taking care of one another, because that's what I believe we were all put here for, is to make sure that we treat each other like our neighbors and our friends and our family.
Commander, I've only got a couple minutes left with you, but I got to ask, a person, you know, said that you were heading over to the Far East real soon. You're taking a trip. What's going on?
Well, we are. We're at the end of November, we're heading over to South Korea to visit our military personnel that are stationed over there and their families. But we also have a couple of America Legion posts over in South Korea. We have posts in Okinawa, which we'll be going to, and also into the Philippines. So we're looking forward to learning more about those locations, those posts, and our military people that are over there.
Well, they have different needs than the posts that we have here in the United States, because honestly, Commander, I didn't realize we had posts in South Korea, Okinawa, and other foreign locations, so their needs have got to be greatly different than ours.
Well, and that's what I'm going there to learn about. And in the spring, we go over the other direction. We'll go over to Europe, because we also have Legion posts over in the European countries as well.
All right, Commander, we're running really short on time here, and it's been such a treat talking to you. Commander Denise Rowan, the first nationwide commander of the American Legion. Commander, before we let you go, is there anything that we didn't touch on in the interview that you think it's important for our listeners to hear about the Legion?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Legion.org one more time, and with Veterans Day coming up, as you've already done, go to your local American Legion post and learn more about what's going on, what we do, and how you can help serve.